This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Network powered by Spotify. Cousin Sal coming to you. Yeah, you're probably listening to this on a Thursday with Mikey Meatballs producing this disaster of a show. And joining me, as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the D3, Harry, Brother Bri, Darren, the Pauly Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Hey, Sal.
What's going on, buddy?
Oh, Bri. Well, it's been a terrific, fun 2 days fighting off morons online accusing me and my family of unspeakable crimes. But you know what? I got to say, it's good. I got rid of a lot of them. Block, block, block. I went to Kembe Mutombo on their asses. And it's a nice cleansing to start the new year. Harry, you're looking for a cleanse, right, in January?
That's always. I might start one.
Let's do it. Start with Twitter, X, whatever the F it is. So that's a good cleanse. Anyway, believe it or not, we have a fun show for you. We're going to give you our picks in that national championship game on Monday. We're going to hit big three games in the NFL. These guys have their sharp tank selections. And we got an interesting thing. Our buddy Ben Folks printed or listed the most bet on players in each sport for 2023, and it's a fun list. A lot of it makes sense, some of it doesn't. We're going to discuss that. These guys have Sharp Tank, all that. But let's start in the NFL. Parlay Kid, you say you may have predicted this. I don't know what it was based on, but you might become like an insider now, like Adam Schefter, like Ian Rappaport. This Eagles locker room reportedly in shambles, and it's because of AJ Brown's leading the charge, apparently, right?
Sounds like it, but why are we surprised? I think I said this somewhere down the line on our pod, or maybe even when I went with the Cardinals last week, I said something's not right with this Eagles team. AJ Brown looks very unhappy on the sidelines constantly, and something just seems amiss with the team. Watch when they pan to Hurts all the time. Seems miserable. Seems like, it might be a coolness. Maybe it's a calmness, but I never read it like that. I read it like a guy's that's like, this is not a fun situation right now. So,
even when the Eagles were winning every week, you could see Brown on the sidelines frustrated with a lot of things too.
Brown is also Brown what is Harry also refers what? To his 400 pound brother as. I don't know why. Why? Because he gets tanned from fishing. Is that why you call him Brown?
I can't get into details.
Oh, really? It's worse than that. Okay. Well, AJ Brown, Bri, we figured out, I think we even said this on the last podcast. He's had an interesting year. You know, some people like a Super Bowl hangover, but he had like a 6 week period when he was unstoppable. I mean, you put him in the top three, right? It was the end of September. Yeah. I'm looking at his yards here. 131, 175, 127, 131, 137, 130. My goodness.
Yeah, he was the only one besides Hill at that point in time. And he started off, he wasn't playing that well early on. And you can see him, right, really upset on the sidelines after like week two or week three. And then he had that stretch of four, five, six games that were great. And now he's back to complaining. But it's funny that he's complaining because you would also think then Devontae Smith should be complaining then too, right? I always feel like neither of them get the ball enough. Devontae Smith surely doesn't get the ball enough either. So,
well, Barley kid, if we read into this, first of all, our Cowboys only have to take care of business. We don't have to worry about the Eagles, which is miraculous that it's come down to this already. But as a two-touchdown favorite, we shouldn't have to worry about the Eagles. But could they fall between? No, they get a 5 seed at worst, right? They can't be worse than a 5. So they go to NFC South winner, be that Tampa, New Orleans, or Atlanta, outside chance, right? So, okay. All right. I'll take it. I don't care what's true, what's not true. That's fine. They're in trouble. What else in the news? Oh, the Jets cut Dalvin Cook to allow him to join a contender. That's interesting, Harry. Did you have Dalvin Cook on fantasy? I feel like you did, right?
I don't think I did.
Oh, you didn't? But okay.
I did meet him. I did meet him in through the football.
Oh, that's right. That's remember? A connection.
So, yes. Me and Sol Jalman went to Minnesota and had some fun. After
another guy you jinxed. Another one. All the Harbaugh thing might work out. Yeah,
maybe not. Harbaugh might make it work out. This might work out now all of a sudden.
Who'd you meet this year in 23, Harry? It was Harbaugh and Dalvin Cook. And was there somebody else?
Drew Brees.
Drew Brees. Okay. I don't think he's going to factor into the playoffs. Yeah,
his hair still looks the same. So it's
right. All right. So that's interesting with Dalvin Cook. He might be, I'm trying to think, he might be the best running back on a couple of these teams as it is going forward for the next few weeks. But the other thing, Parlay Kid, Kenny Pickett denied rumors that he refused to be the backup to Mason Rudolph. And he was like, I don't know. I was either ready to play. If I wasn't ready to play, I was going to be inactive. And if I was, I was going to be the bat. I think he's the 2 this week, but I don't think any Steelers fans want to see him in that game or for the rest of the year. If you polled them, honestly, I think they would say that, right?
Oh, I would assume they would. Why would they not say that? Yeah. I don't really believe Pickett. I have a feeling that
really,
This is a little bit of a spin, I think. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. The whole thing, look, how much better has their offense been under Mason Rudolph? It's hard to believe, but
really weird.
Well, Pickett's not an NFL quarterback.
I don't know. The Steelers, I will think will remain a mystery to me and have been for the last 5 years, and how they're pulling this off and how Tomlin is now gone, I don't know, 17 years over 500. And this being the oddest maybe because they were outgained. Sure, Mason Rudolph, great. But Najee Harris, who was nowhere to be found, all of a sudden putting together big games, 3 touchdowns in the last 2. He had 122. We always thought Jaylen Warren had some pop. We always thought, Pickens could make a big catch here and there. But that's where you are right now. I guess we can credit Mason Rudolph with this because none of this really happened before he started taking snaps a couple of weeks ago. But Steelers are favored. We're not going to go over that game necessarily. That's the first Saturday game. Let's go over, though, the big game of the week, at least deemed by NBC. Buffalo, a 3-point favorite, 49.5 at Miami. Now, Brian and I are going to be on Cousin Sal's winning weekend tomorrow. We're going to give our actual pick for this game. We'll give you a prop instead for this. Well, we won't pick the actual game. We'll give side bets for that. But 349.5, take it away. Parlay Kid, it just seems so easy that everyone's taking the Bills here. Is it that easy?
I don't think it's that easy at all, but Miami has struggled here against teams that can play with some physicality. I think that's why maybe they didn't struggle as much maybe with the Cowboys. I don't know how Cowboys aren't really to me, they're more of a finesse team. That's what I think. But and they don't have those bruising linebackers. But the Bills play with the physicality. If they get their running game going against Miami, I think this game is going to be a big favor of Buffalo. And doesn't Buffalo just have, as of at the present time, more to play for than Miami, no matter what?
Sure.
Miami's banged up. I'm convinced Tua is not 100%. I'm very convinced.
Yeah, that he's not. We saw, he took a hit going down around the 3-yard line. So he's not 100%. I think it's actually been reported. Yeah.
And now, you lost one of your top defensive players because you kept him in a blowout game too long. I think that's going to be very careful with their team this week. I just feel like that for as much as they might want to win, I don't think the will to win this game for the Dolphins is going to really be there. And when you're playing a team that has a large will and want to win, The edge goes to a team like Buffalo. That's by far this game. I love Buffalo in this one.
All right. I just feel like everybody does. I'm trying to make a case for Miami. And that case would be you don't want to look like crap 2 weeks in a row going into the playoffs. You do, you know, that two seed is, you know, I mean, it's
yeah, I agree.
You wouldn't want to drop from 2 to 6 if they lose. I should set the table here. Buffalo needs to win. Now, they might be in right. anyway by Sunday night, right? If the Jags lose, and what else has to happen? Pittsburgh loses Saturday. Is that it? Who's that?
Right.
Steelers, yeah. And so, but Miami's still going for that too. The Buffalo's still going for that too. That's why it's the Sunday night game. All right, Harry, you also like the Bills.
I do. I look at just a lot of mistakes and miscues by Miami lately. Bills won 48-20 in their first meeting. By far the Bills' best played game of the season. They are 10-1. I mentioned this yesterday. 10-1 in their last 11 versus Miami. The best team Miami beat was Dallas and probably should have lost that game a couple weeks ago. I know Mostert and Waddle banged up, didn't play last week. Dolphins haven't won the East since 2008. Bills have 4 wins in a row. They're 5. They haven't looked great in the last 2 weeks, but still 4 wins in a row. 5-1 in their last 6, the Bills, and their loss was against Philly. Probably should have won that game. I think the Bills cover, win the East for the 4th straight season. I got Buffalo winning 31-28.
Man, what a weird path it was to win the East if they are to pull it off for the Bills. Not their normal run. All right, as I said, Bri, I was going to pick the game on Cousin Sal's winning weekend tomorrow right here on the Against All Odds feed. I'm going to go under here for this extra pick here. I don't expect a lot of points. In fact, you know, Parlay Kid, we may not see the Dolphins starters in the second half. This could be a kind of game where you don't, you know, if they're down a little, I know it's for the 2 seed, but does Tyreek Hill play a full game? Could you like bet on that? Like just with his injuries anyway, and Waddle and Mostert, same kind of thing. If they get down early, I don't know. Maybe they do sit these guys out. But as far as the under goes, 10 of the, so those are all explosive players who may not play 4 quarters. And 10 of the last 14 Bills road games have gone under. The under is 10-6 in Bills games this year. Not a lot of fireworks, I don't think, in this one. I think the final score is in the low 40s. Give me the under. Bri, you got a nice player prop for us?
Yeah, and I kind of like what you're doing there. So I do think it's possible you look at all the Dolphins unders, right? Because like you said, if all of a sudden, if the Bills get out to a 2-touchdown lead early, it's like, maybe let's just pack it in a little bit here. Yeah, so you might be right there. Maybe parlay a couple of those. But I'm going, Sal, with Allen to have an anytime touchdown here at minus 145. You know, we all talk about Hurts with rushing touchdowns, but I don't know. I don't know where the hell I've been. But it's crazy. All of a sudden, I was looking at Allen's stats, and I was like, wait a second. He's got 15 rushing touchdowns. So he's tied with Hurts for second most rushing touchdowns in the league. He has 8 rushing touchdowns in his last 5 games. He has a rushing touchdown in 9 of his last 10 games. It really just blindsided me when I was looking at this. But now he's at that point where you got to look at him a little bit like Hurts or McCaffrey down on the one. There's a good chance he's getting in there. And at minus 145, that's a little bit better value than you get with Hurts.
He does it without the tush push. Or does he? Yeah, he can't even remember. I think for the most part,
yeah.
Good. He should have t-shirts made up saying that. All right, that's the big game of the week. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to hit Indy, Houston, and Green Bay, Chicago when we return.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
All right, Colts and Texas. I haven't checked this number in a minute. Is this still 1.5? Colts are favored? I think they are, right? Texans. Holy crap. Yeah, it flipped. Texans 1.5-point favorite. Whoa. 47.5 is the over under. Wow. All right. I mean, I don't know if this changes anyone's mind. There certainly have been 21-20 finals we've seen this year. The AFC South is the most erratic, I think, out of any of these divisions. So I'll let you take it away, Harry. You still like it. You like it even more now, right? You had Indy to begin with.
Sure, I like Indy a lot. Basically, the redheaded stepchild of the NFL has to be the Indianapolis Colts this year. No one pegged them for the playoffs or even to be in contention when the season started, but somehow through a lot of injuries, they're 6-2 straight up in their last eight games. Minshew was 3-1 in his last four games versus the AFC South squads. The Texans pass rush is weak and are just 25th versus the pass. And on offense, whoever has been a quarterback for Houston the past 4 weeks hasn't been able to get a lot of passing yards going for the Texans. Just in the past 4 weeks, the Texans quarterbacks passing yards, 91, 29, 149, and 213. Houston has had a tremendous season, no doubt about it. But I'm riding with Jonathan Taylor and Minshew Mania to get it done.
All right. Harry said pass rush, by the way. He did it. He fell. It's an epidemic. Everybody's saying it. Yeah.
I think everybody does now, though.
But why is it? Is it because the second word ends with an H? Like, you could say pass dash, right? You could say pass crash. You could say, like, what is the problem?
But I don't know what it is, but now it screws up every word. I told you this a couple weeks ago. I think you were doing Simmons Pod, and from Russell Wilson, you called him rush. It just rush, like that pass and rush.
The
like
double it, S is now SH now. Okay. It's all right. Farley Kid, why are the Texans favored in this all of a sudden? Like, why the money's coming in big time on that?
Yeah, huh? I just think people are rooting for the Texans over the Colts. Right. I think that's why. So that's where the money is going. And I understand it. I'm kind of rooting for the Texans too, but I'm taking the Colts. I think the Texans would be a little bit more fun to watch in the playoffs. But the Texans themselves, since the Tank Dell injury, have not been as explosive on offense and as fun on offense as they were when they had him. I'm surprised Harry's going against his man Dalton Schultz here. You think Schultz would carry this Texans team to a victory? He obviously has lost a lot of confidence in Schultz, which I get it. I mean, Schultz had two catches for 19 yards last week by Schultz. So Harry, you know, I get it. He anointed him as one of the top players in the NFL a couple about a month ago. And again, another guy who is...
He doesn't trip, Darren, he doesn't trip players like Dallas tight ends do.
Okay, well, that's... they don't do that
either.
That's totally fake news. Yeah.
There you go.
It's hard to trip when you're on the sideline injured for a month. Yeah. But yeah, you're right, yeah.
But I do agree with Harry here with the Colts. And I do like the fact that you got a healthy Jonathan Taylor makes all the difference in this game. I think he's the best offensive player on both from both offenses. Minshew does make plays. He's good. I always just worry about that one big pick or one big fumble he has when he's trying to do a little too much.
Right.
I think that's the only thing that we can. And look, you got to love the home field advantage in this game. In this type of game, you got to love it. Colts.
It's a big spot. It's the biggest spot for Stroud, for sure. Going on the road like this.
And that's a lot to ask for a rookie, right? This Texans team is a super young football team.
Right.
Colts a little bit more savvy, a little bit more veteran-led. I'll take the Colts, led by, like Harry said, Jonathan Taylor, I think, goes for over 100 in this game, maybe two touchdowns. Colts win. It will be close most of the game because neither team will be explosive enough offensively to pull away, but the Colts just edge one out here, Harry. I'd rather see the Texans, but my head says the Colts.
Jonathan Taylor specifically feast on this Texans team.
Yep.
106 carries, 623 yards, and 7 touchdowns in 5 games. So that's what you guys are talking about. That, but Bri, you're going opposite way for a player prop rushing.
Yeah, I'm looking at Devin Singletary over 66.5 rushing yards at -114. You know, he's had a nice second half to this year, Singletary. It's just really a matter of, like, if you look at his sets, it's a matter of just does he get the carries or not. So it's a question of, you know, can he get 15 carries in this one? And I think they are going to test the Colts run defense, because when you look at the Colts run defense, they've been one of the worst against the run this season. And especially over the last couple of games, they've ranked in like the bottom three here. So I know Stroud had a lot of success against them in the first match, and he's still May, but I think they're going to try to run the ball more, which that's why they've been a better team over the last like 10 games, the Texans here. So I think they run it a lot here against the Colts, and he goes over 66.5.
All right. I have a player prop as well. Pick the game tomorrow. Minshew, Gardner Minshew, under 33 and a half attempts. I read you all those numbers from Jonathan Taylor. I think it's going to be a slow it down. Taylor could go nuts against, you know, a team again. Why put it in? Gardner, we love you. Thanks for bringing us here, but we're not going to let you screw this up for us. He's gone under 33 and a half attempts in 10 of his last 12 at home. So I like that number at minus 118. You know, he can go 17 for 26 and win this game or lose it. I don't think there's going to be a lot expected of him. I will say they've now put this game. So last year we were in Vegas for the Saturday night game. We went to the Chiefs Raiders, right? And then the night game, there were two games, and the night game was Tennessee and Jacksonville, right? And so I think this AFC South is locked into the Saturday night game where it's like, yeah, we know it means more to both teams, but we can't quite put it in Sunday game because these teams are so bad, good, good, bad. We don't know what to do with them. The Titans, we should have won that game. Who was the quarterback, Pauly kid, for the Titans that game? They lost like on a weird play, right?
Was it Malik Willis?
No, I don't even
was
know.
It Dobbs? It was Dobbs?
It was Dobbs. Yes, it was. 100% Dobbs. Yeah.
So that was January 2023. I don't care to go too much into this. Yeah, 20-16. The Jaguars won. And it was Dobbs was 20 for 29, 179. So did he turn it over? There was like a defensive touchdown to win it, right? Well, Josh Allen, 37-yard fumble return, made it 20-16 with like 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Otherwise, the Jaguars don't go on to play the Chargers and win in a spectacular fashion and then lose to the Chiefs. It's crazy how close these games come. So
for sure.
the game, so that this probably should be the Sunday night game because it's a losing out for both. If not that, Green Bay, Chicago, pretty good. And I never get excited for this game. I never do. I know it's supposed to be the best rivalry in all of football. I don't remember a good, compelling, close, important game out of these two teams in the last four decades. But this one, all of a sudden, very interesting. Green Bay, 3-point favorite, 44 is the over-under. They're home. They win. They're in Lambeau Field. What do you got, Pauly kid?
Yeah, this is a difficult one. I think I'll just go with the team that needs it more, even though I do think Fields has a lot to play for. You know, he still wants to show keep a quarterback away from them maybe trading him, say. But I'm also concerned about the health of some of the Green Bay Packers receivers. Jaden Reed in particular here, I think that could make a huge difference. He's been so good, this kid, Jaden Reed. Talk about an under-the-radar player. He's been dynamic. And Love is third in the NFL in touchdown passes. Like, crazy. How did that sneak up on everybody like that? But I do think otherwise, the Packers are getting healthier right now. They have a pretty good running back combination, again, with Jones and Dillon. Now with Jones back in the fold, Dillon, you know, is the power back. Jones is more the speed back. And it really doesn't seem to matter who Love throws the ball to, right? Like, right now, is Watson back this week? They might have him back as well this week. So this team, to me, Green Bay's been rolling. Love's been really good. I think he seems to be unaffected by the pressure here late in the season. I thought he played a great game in Minnesota. That Minnesota crowd was pretty into it. Now they come back home where this Green Bay crowd is going to be super into it. I just think that propels them to the win just because Love can – he just is a guy that is making his receivers look good, throwing some nice balls. I love the way the kid is playing, though no pun intended, but he's been great. I think the Packers win this one. They need more. Again, it's just a need.
All right. There's a lot of teams that just need it and just have to cover three, which scares me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, somebody's going to blow it.
I know. Harry, over 44, is this your total of the year?
Starting in 2024, no, but I do like the over, Sal. But I agree with you also, Sal, with the Chicago-Green Bay matchup. Not really interested in these games, but this one has a lot of juice to it. I like this, and I like it to go over 44. Both teams are playing great right now. Chicago's 4-1 in the last five. They scored 26 or more in four of the last six. They've had a 100-yard rusher and receiver in the last two games. Normally I do my homework and figure out when the last time that's happened. I don't know when that's happened for
Chicago.
I don't know how long I'd have to go back to see the last time they've done that. No, but still, 100-yard rusher and receiver the last two games. First meeting was 48 points. Three of the last four games between these two, 47 or more. Green Bay's gone back-to-back weeks with 33-point games. And Darren mentioned Love, 30 touchdowns. How about he's actually, if you include his rushing touchdowns, by the way, he leads Green Bay in rushing touchdowns too. But if you include his rushing touchdowns, he has the most touchdowns, if you include the passing touchdowns too, with Dak Prescott for the NFC, most touchdowns rushing and passing. 34. He's been fantastic. I think this game flies over 44. And the weather's not supposed to be dead. It's supposed to be a little cold, but no snow, no rain. Probably over.
All right. I'm going to piggyback. Let me jump in here, Brian, because I have a lot of the similar stats to Harry here. But I'm taking Bears over 23.5 at plus 150. So I adjusted that number. Honestly, they're a team I'd be nervous about facing in the playoffs. In fact, I don't know if these two teams have been this good or have this much momentum. I don't know when, since the NFC Championship game, that Cutler got hurt. I have no idea like when they're playing each other. But again, Bears good. Harry, I'm going to reiterate, three of the last 4 weeks, they've scored 27 or more. The Packers allowed 67 to the Bucks and Panthers recently. This is an angry Bears team. They've lost nine straight. Let's not forget, they've lost nine straight to Green Bay. They could get to play spoiler. Fun thing. You know, everyone, foregone conclusion. Fields has his job. They're going to trade the pick. I don't think you want to change that narrative if you're Chicago. And also, this is a good way for me to pick the Bears and still root for Jordan Love, a guy who should have been starting for the Packers 3 years ago. I'm going to be impossible. I'm sorry. Anyway, Brother Bry, what you got?
Well, look, I think it really sucks that the Bears have no shot of getting in here, right?
Yeah.
It sucks that they're eliminated, because I think, you know, the NFL should make a decision here. They should be like, look, if they beat the Packers, the Seahawks, the Saints, the Vikings, if they all lose, let's let the Bears in the playoffs.
I think
we felt that way
about Detroit when they played Green Bay on Sunday night.
And that's
and
how
Aaron Rodgers came out very, very, very soft in a big moment. I don't know if you remember.
But Bears would still be alive if the Giants didn't blow that game against the Rams.
They've had a couple of weird ones. Yeah.
Yeah. And I will say that game, that Packers game last year in Vegas against the Lions, oof, man, that killed me. That killed me. It was one way to leave Vegas.
I know. That was
after
rough.
I'm going to take the Bears plus 1.5 first quarter. I mean, you're laying minus 160 here. So essentially, you essentially need a tie here, a push or better to be leading, or unless it's like a 7-6 first quarter. But, you know, this, like you guys said, this Bears team has been really fun to watch recently, and they've gotten off to hot starts. It doesn't matter the conditions. They played really good in bad conditions here, and they've now scored first in six straight games. So they've just gotten off to these hot starts, and defensively, they've been really good to start these games. So like I said, you're getting 1.5 here. So essentially you just need a tie. I could easily see this being, you know, a 7-7 game after the first here, and you still get the win.
What is this? Is this a late afternoon kickoff? The way they've structured this, this is how I would love every week. Two Saturday games, six Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern, six Sunday, maybe seven Sunday, 4 p.m. Maybe that's it. Maybe I would switch it 7 and 6. But yeah, this is one of the 7-4 p.m. kickoffs. Ah, it's going to be so much fun. Good time. Parley Kid, how much time do you have? Because I want to go over a couple futures here.
Let's go.
All right. Well, it's four pages, so I'll take it nice and slow. No, I'm just going to go over. The bottom line is I got crushed. I have a couple opportunities to make up a difference here. Those over-unders on the running backs where I go under, I think I'm going to break even to minus the crazy vigs, minus 114s. But Peyton, coach of the year, I don't know. If he scores 70 this week, does he get there? I don't think so. I lost with the Steelers. I bet against Tomlin under 8.5 wins. I still alive. Seahawks over 8.5 wins. This was a good one for me. Maybe my best. Bryce Young under 22.5 passing touchdowns. You know how many he has, Parley Kid?
Wow. 3.
11. Well, no, it seems like 3, right?
Yeah.
He has 11. Didn't even get halfway there for now. Chubb, most rushing touchdowns. Bad news. Bad luck. Harry, Bijan Robinson, under 8.5 touchdown runs. You know how many he has?
Probably 6.
He has 4. How did you get to the finals in fantasy? That was your number one pick. It's crazy. Bri, you talked me into this. Wilson,
an idiot.
Wilson, the rookie for Vegas, over 6 sacks. Why did you talk me into that?
Oh, my God. Did I talk?
No,
did
you
I
didn't.
Talk
you? No, that
I
was
didn't.
On me.
I was going to say I didn't, right?
I didn't like that from the get-go.
Right. Yeah. 2.5. He has 2.5.
That was a guarantee that he was going to suck, especially this year.
Browns win AFC North. That's a shame. I had Colts under wins. I had Colts lowest scoring team. I really got what. Oh, here's a good one, Parley Kid. Cowboys highest scoring team, 10-1. Here's where we stand. Miami 482, Baltimore 473, Dallas and San Francisco 471.
Wow. Mm.
Wow.
Pretty That's a great
Baltimore's
one.
No That's Lamar, fun. Right? No Purdy, right? I don't think. And
you could be in good shape here.
Yeah. All right. I guess I'll just bet Miami over to, I'll screw that up somehow. Watson under 62.5 receptions. He has 28. I love that one. I should have gone more on that. Cause like even in college, he didn't have that many. Bri Carr over 22.5 touchdown passes. 21. He has got a shot there. Crazy. Yeah. Parsons, defensive player of the year. I'm okay. Maybe there. Stroud offensive rookie of the year. That was my best at 10-1. Man, I have Bengals all over the place. AFC championship game. This is a bad one, Parley Kid. Pollard, 10+ rushing touchdowns. He has 5. But did you know? I was looking, though. He's like 6th in rushing, like for yards. So you would never think it.
I can't believe that. That's nuts. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Chiefs to score a touchdown in every game. A loser. I forgot. I had crossed that. I forgot. They didn't score against Denver, right, Harry? What'd they have, like 9? That was bad. Let me think here. Let me see. This was a good one. Arizona over 5.5 adjusted wins with Vikings over 6.5 adjusted wins. So that wins. But now I have Colts all over the place to make the playoffs. That's going to lose.
Right.
Carr most passing yards in the NFC South. I thought that was easy. Baker is 3,900. Carr is 3,614. I'm going to lose that. Let's see. Stroud, most passing yards, AFC South. That was 5-1. He has 3,844. Lawrence, 3,736. Could be interesting, Bri.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Should be in solid shape.
Right. Montgomery under rushing loses. Pacheco under rushing loses. Jones under rushing for Green Bay wins. Akers under wins. McCaffrey under loses. Swift loses. Pierce under wins, Daniel Jones under wins, Dalvin Cook under wins, Zeke under loses, under 375.5. That's nuts.
Fun. Crazy.
Connor under 700.5 loses easy. Mixon, Harry, loses easy. Josh Allen's going to be close. He has 457, his number's 575. Jacobs probably under 805. His rushing was 1,005. And Fields was 800.5. He's at 630. I don't know. Let me make this interesting. What else? What else was interesting? Let's see. Was anything close here? Packers, I went under wins. I don't know why I did that. Dolphins, I went under 11.5 wins. And I went Dolphins to have fewer wins than FSU. So FSU is 12. The Dolphins have 11. So I could push there. And then, I don't know, that's it. Saints all over the place on parlays. McCaffrey, offensive player of the year. I got in there with maybe a winning. That's it. I don't know what the moral of the story is.
What was the line you got on that, Sal?
Which one? That was at 145 or something. So finally, I made something right. But
the moral of the story is, if the Colts win, You're screwed.
I'm all over the place. What happened? I just went crazy on that owner. I was like, oh, this is a disaster team.
They were gonna be bad too. That coach has done a great job.
And the quarterback went out. Like, how are they doing this? Anyway.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a go ahead, Eric. What were we gonna say?
Well, I was just gonna say this, Al. I know Darren gave me a little crap, a lot of crap about the my pick in the NFC South, where I did give out the Falcons for the division at +190, still have a shot. But again, remember, I gave out Ritter also to go under 2,600 yards passing. I know Heineke's banged up. I think Heineke's still going, but I have Ritter under 2,600 yards. He's got 25, 45. If he enters the game, Right. He's 56 and I'm a loser. And the Falcons obviously can still win the division.
I would check, Bri, to your point earlier, which players have incentives. Now, about Thursday, Friday, that an article comes out that this one makes $1 million if he gets like 8 more catches or something. So obviously stay away from or bet those accordingly. But I think for the most part, you're right. Bet on these unders. Treat it like an NBA thing. Like, hey, these guys are maybe not going to play 4 quarters this week, especially some of the stars. Bet their unders. How do you, I know FanDuel will adjust, but probably not enough. I don't think they'll adjust, right?
Yeah. Let's look at that. I think so. Maybe we can find something.
All right. Let's just pick like 40 or 50 and give them out on, let our the masses know what we're going to do. All right. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll go over the college finale, Michigan, Washington, when we return.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
All right, Wolverines and Huskies, Michigan 4.5, 55.5. I speak to celebrity superfan, Husky superfan Joel McHale on Cousin Sal's winning weekend. He is super excited. Probably wouldn't have come on if the Huskies had blown that to Texas, but I'm glad he is. Brian and I will pick this game on Cousin Sal's winning weekend. Let's go to Harry and the Parlay Kid. Harry, Michigan -4.5. This has been your pick all year. What'd you get? What kind of odds you get on them?
8-1 for Michigan to win the national championship. I'm not going to go back on them now, Sal. I'm going to lay the 4.5. Look, Michigan's special teams did play a real sloppy game that almost cost them versus Bama. Thank God their defense bailed them out again. I expect a much better game all around from the Wolverines. McCarthy and Corum are clutch. Remember, Corum didn't play in the playoff games the past 2 years because of injury. He's making the best of it now. Had a big game against Bama. I think just maybe, I don't know if you want to call it luck, but I think the luck runs out for Washington here. Huskies' last 5 wins have been by 1-score games. Michigan's defense, I think, shuts them down and shuts down that Washington trio of receivers that are fantastic and makes things very difficult for Penix. Third time's a charm for in the playoffs for Harbaugh. I think he gets it done here. The Wolverines win the national championship. I got this final score being Michigan 30, Washington 20.
All right. Parlay Kid, who do you have in this Big Ten clash? It's crazy. These teams are Big Ten teams. What do you got?
Well, look, I agree. I do like what Harry's saying here. And I thought Texas would beat Washington. But this Washington team, we got to look at it. Like, was that a close game the other day? It ended up being that way. I thought they controlled the play most of the game.
They did.
So I think they were the superior team. So, yes. They are comfortable in playing in these type of games, obviously. Like I had mentioned that last week. I said the same thing what Harry's saying now. I thought Washington's luck would run out. But maybe this streak is just going to keep going through this season. I think this is a few too many points to be laying here in this game, which really just could come down to a field goal at the end of it. I do like Washington's offense better. The Michigan's offense, I think we've compared quarterbacks, so probably 2 potential first-round draft picks here. But Penix is playing and has played throughout the season at a much higher level than McCarthy. I think he's got more weapons at receiver to his disposal. And I think they run the ball just effectively enough, this Washington team, to keep Michigan a little off balance. Michigan did bring some heat to Alabama just a few days ago in the first half. But once Alabama made a few adjustments, Michigan's defense had a much harder time stopping them. I think the film is going to be out there on Michigan. to how to stop that very good at blitzing type of team by applying some pressure. I think Washington wins another close one here, Sal. I think they win this outright, but at least I'm going to take those points as well.
Yeah, they are unbelievable, right? This Washington team, I'm trying to look like, you know, Texas did pressure Penix, right? It's not like, well, this is a different beast with this Michigan defense, right?
Right, right. No, I thought they did pressure him, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Did they have four sacks? I think, I made that up. No, they didn't have any, but their pressures, no. I think, were.
They put some pressure. He moved around well back there. Yeah.
Well, I think they said, right, Penix was only sacked, what, 11 times this year?
Yeah. He's pretty good at that, avoiding the rush. I don't know. We'll get into it, Bri, our picks. Harry, by the way, did you see Michigan's schedule for next year? I think I sent this to the other on a different chain.
Soft again?
No. Fresno State to start. Texas. I don't know what they're home for Texas. Home for Arkansas State. Is this right? Their first five games are home? Fresno State, Texas, Arkansas State, USC home, Minnesota home. At Washington. At Illinois, home for Michigan State, home for Oregon, at Indiana, home for Northwestern, at Ohio State.
Wow. Oh, pretty good. Time. For the past couple of years where they've had cupcakes except for Ohio State.
Well, and is this why Harbaugh might take off? I don't know. I don't know, Bri. What do you think? He sees the schedule. Look, he's like, no, thanks. Different story.
I mean, I know you guys think there's a possibility of him going to the Raiders, which there is, although I can't imagine they're going to spend $20 to $25 million on Harbaugh when you're paying two other coaches for a few more years. But you could see the Harbaugh-McCarthy combination in the Raiders. That is a possibility, right, with where the Raiders are going to pick in the draft.
Yeah, it's true.
Definitely a possibility.
Well, stuck with them. Oh, that'd be great for you. All right, Brian, what do you got? you're going to give another pick on Cousin Sal's winning weekend. What are you going with here?
I'm taking Washington 4.5. And I like Washington against Texas, too. And it's amazing what this team has done all year. They've been great in these one possession games, even though I will say, look, they controlled the action in that Texas game. They controlled the action in that second Oregon game, too. And look, we said it. They're going to have the best player on the field, at least in college. We don't really know. I mean, again, I think I said this too with Milroe against Michigan last week. Like, we didn't know how they were going to do it against an athletic quarterback. They did well, obviously. They shut that offense out. But they haven't seen a quarterback like Penix either when you look at their schedule this year. And Washington's receivers are just so good. I know Michigan has some good D-backs there too and with some size that can cover these guys. But I think it's going to be tough for them all day. So I think they're going to have some success. I just think 4.5 is too much. I'm not really sure who's going to win this game. I kind of do lean Washington too right now because that offensive line has been great. If they can get a little bit of a running game going, even though their running back's hurt, if they can get some running game going and stop Michigan's run somewhat because they did struggle against Texas run game. So if they can hold them a little bit there, I think they pull out this game and win here. But again, like Parlay Kid, I'm taking the 4.5.
All right. I'm going player prop here. I'm stealing your guy here, Bri. Yeah, I know you bet him for Biletnikoff. What you bet Roman Dunze all over the place, right? And he is one of the three-headed monster, but he is the fiercest of the monsters. To score a touchdown is -110 on FanDuel. 13 TDs this year. None last week or against Oregon, but at a coin flip, I feel like he's due. And a great number, like compared to the rest of these touchdown scores. Tyrell Rogers -130 anytime. Dylan Johnson to run it in. He's banged up -130. And then you go into the Roman Wilsons and the Donovan Edwards for Michigan, and you get plus numbers. But I like the coin toss Dunze number at -110. I'm going to take it. Bri, no Blake Corum for you? Two touchdowns? That's even odds, basically. Two touchdowns.
Even odds. Oof. That sucks. I mean, at one point you were getting that +3. Yeah, I mean,
they really screw with these college numbers. He's -370 to score a touchdown. So
yeah, that sucks. I mean, I definitely can see him getting the two touchdowns again for sure. But because
not a plus.
No, I wouldn't take it though. It's not great. Not great.
All right. Well, that's a fun one. Monday night. There you go. Michigan, Washington. Harry's Harbaugh. Let's see. Let's see if Harry's curse wore off or if this is a new year. We'll see what's going on. Let's take a quick break. These guys have some Shark Tank picks and a little more, and then we'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
All right, Parlay Kid, Sharp Tank, the three of you guys, give me your best bets for the weekend. I jump on one, you know, somewhat reluctantly, but let's start the year off on a good note. You won last week. Coming back to you, what do you got?
Yeah, I finished really strong last week. I hit Cooks over in the passing yards. That was
nice.
Very easy Sharp Tank victory for me.
It's so, like the least controversial bet of that game, I would say.
100%. There's no doubt. Yeah, so what I like, Sal, is there's a lot of games I like this weekend because I do think that most of the teams that need to win will win. So we'll start, but we're just going to go with a two-team money line parlay. Let's start with the Steelers against the Ravens. Steelers have been playing well. They've been running the ball well. And let's face it, what the Ravens, I know Huntley will be, I'm guessing he'll be quarterbacking and he could be a pain in the butt himself, but I just think they got to keep this team healthy. I see a lot of starters resting after a certain point. And it's a must win for Pittsburgh. And we know Pittsburgh in these type of games, they get the job done. So they have just so much more to play for. And they got their running game going now with a little bit of a passing game with Rudolph. I think they win this game. They have to have it. Ravens are kind of playing out this, you know, getting some guys some playing time, et cetera. And then I'm going to go with a team I really like this weekend, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They control their own destiny. They got to go into Carolina and win a football game. I know this worries some people, but why does it? Carolina's terrible. They are a terrible football team. Tampa, they really did lay an egg against the Saints. That was very, very surprising performance, especially coming off a few straight really good games. The Saints really dominated them until very late in the game when Tampa got some cheap touchdowns in my book. But I think they rebound. They know they control their own destiny. They win. I'm getting a plus number here, plus 126 for a Bucks Steelers money line parlay. Kind of like this one.
All right. I like it too. I'm thinking about it. I'm wondering, does this, if the Steelers win, what does that do to the Bills Dolphins line? Does that go up a half point? The Jaguars would still need to win to force the Bills to win to stay in. Right, Brian?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. That's right in there. All right. Harry, you also have the Steelers on something. What are you doing here? Three-teamer?
Three-team, 10-point NFL teaser. I'm going to take the Steelers at plus 6.5. Obviously, no need for Baltimore to play any of the starters. Lamar basically has the MVP locked up. Harris had a great game last week versus Seattle. Sal, you mentioned probably the best game of the season, over 100 yards. Rudolph is, you know, who knew, but has been actually very good on this and got this offense to get rolling. And they need this game to stay alive. So I'm going to take the Steelers plus 6.5. I'm going to take the Colts up to 11.5. You're getting more than double digits here. You're getting 11.5 for the Colts, 6-2 in their last 8. And again, I like what Minshew's been doing and Jonathan Taylor healthy. Give me the Colts plus 11.5. And to cap it off, give me the Patriots plus 8.5 against the Jets. No way the Pats, if this is indeed Belichick's last game in New England, tank versus the Jets, a team he has flat out dominated. And the Pats are actually playing their best football of the season. New England hasn't lost by more than 8 points. They lost by more than 8 points just once, actually, in the last 8 games. Give me the Pats plus 8.5, Steelers plus 6.5. And the Colts getting double digits at plus 11.5.
I have to say, if you ask me which team would you be most surprised lose by more than a touchdown this week, Patriots are right up there. I mean, that's that they should get that done. Oh, those teams, though, they screw you so bad. Brian, what is the, I mean, three-team teaser on week 18? What could go wrong? But what was the worst screw job for a week 18? Jacksonville beat somebody, right? Trevor Lawrence beat someone 2 years ago. They were like a 13-point underdog, right?
Colts.
Who was that in week 18? Colts? Was it the Colts? Was it Matt Ryan?
I think it was the Colts.
Oh, no, it was Wentz. It was Wentz.
Yeah, the Colts. Yeah. Was that week 17? Was that week 17?
It was the last week. Yeah. It was definitely Colts. I'm pretty sure.
I can't remember who it would have been for the Colts in that.
26-11, January 9th, 2022. Trevor Lawrence went nuts. Carson Wentz was the. So that was. That's what happened.
There's always one of those. Yeah.
But they were a huge favorite. They were like a 12-point favorite or something. They were 2-14.
So you don't like my idea of putting a couple $1 million on the Cowboys money line?
No, I do. I do like it. I think it would be funny when it loses. But
damn.
But that's not what you're doing.
I stare at that -800 or whatever. Oh, and I'm like, ooh, I feel like this should be -3,000 this game.
Right.
Although, you know, you could see yourself. I could see myself putting a ton of money on that. And all of a sudden the Giants are beating the Eagles 21-0. And you're like, right.
Oh. I know it doesn't matter.
Although I know for the Lions too, they get back in there, but. I know. But anyway,
I'm
doing a money line parlay.
Weekend, right?
It is on Sunday too. The Cowboys, super pumped. So I'm taking a money line parlay, Cowboys and Bills here. Again, the Cowboys, I know last year they kind of blew this game, but it wasn't really a needed game here. I think the motivation right now is at an all-time high for the Cowboys here to get this 2 seed and hopefully which propel them into the NFC championship. And then, you know, Parlay Kid and Terry were talking about the Bills earlier. I know, Sal, you're worrying me a little bit with your Dolphins talk, but This was a game, as soon as the line came out, I just love the Bills in this one. Speaking of just like in terms of motivation, in terms of just health of these two teams, I don't know. I feel like the Dolphins right now are like, hopefully we can win one playoff game the way the year is ending for them. Whereas the Bills are kind of like, look, we could be out of the playoffs or we have a chance to maybe make a run here. Right. I do think the Bills, if the Bills get home field, you never know with the Bills. They could we've thought it was their year the last couple of years, but maybe this year would be the year. So I think the Bills have a lot more to play for. I think I will wait, though, probably maybe just to see what happens in that Pittsburgh game before I officially put this money line bet in. But anyway, -119 for these two teams.
Well, the Jags still would have to take care of business too, right? For the Bills to be up against the wall.
All
right, Brian, I'm not going to go with you. Not that I don't like it, but because you will absolutely lose if I endorse it. And I can't do that to you on your big weekend. So I'm stuck with, I like both of these actually a little bit. So Steelers are on both between the Parlay Kid and Harry. I'm going to have Bucks tease, hedge money all over the place. Harry, I'll go with you with the three teamer. This will be fun when it goes down. Good Lord. Patriots, Colts, Steelers, three teamer, +6.5
Like it this cold day, Sal, so we actually have action, something action wise on Patriots, Jets.
There you go. All right. So that's that. That's the Sharp Tank pick. Let's hit NBA. We're going to be doing a lot of NBA talk coming up when football goes away. Oklahoma City beat up on the Celtics. I did watch this exciting game. Bry, what's your take? I mean, Thunder 127-123. Very exciting.
Yeah. I think I told you guys a couple weeks ago I was going to bet the Thunder to win the West. I still haven't put that bet in yet, but I do think it's them and the Nuggets right now in the West. For the West.
And so people were getting excited about this team, unlike how they were with the Grizzlies, who were like a one seed for much of the way last year. Is there a difference, Parlay Kid, as you see it?
I don't know, Sal. I think I do love this OKC team. I'm not sold on them in a playoff type of setting just yet. Do we know what's happening with this Giddy kid? Who I've touted, I've really enjoyed watching him over the years. But is this, could he have the carpet pulled out for him at any time of the season due to that weird circumstance he was involved in? I'm not really sure about all that. But they've assembled, you know, they had acquired a lot of draft picks, et cetera. They've done a great job in the draft. They got a lot of good 3-and-D guys, along with a great point guard. Boy, fun team. Anybody would want to be a fan of that team.
It's exciting.
It's good. Good for them. Good for them. Cause they made some good moves. They traded away some good players years and years ago. The GM has done a heck of a job over there, but I think it's too early for me to really jump fully on their bandwagon here. The NBA, I think they're still a team right now. OKC, they play. A lot of teams know they're going to be in the playoffs. They kind of are coasting. They're veteran teams. They coast into these playoffs. The regular season, we know, in the NBA doesn't mean a lot to a lot of teams. OKC is playing like it means a lot to them, however, which right. I appreciate. But let's see when the real games start in the playoffs, how they fare.
And go ahead, Eric. What?
I was just going to say, Sal, look, I mean, in the West, it's not that exciting. I mean, the Lakers, the Grizzlies, Golden State are kind of crap. Dallas is inconsistent. I was on Phoenix to start the season. Extremely disappointing so far. The big three between Durant, Booker, and Beal have played like two games with each other. And this OKC team is very exciting. They lead the Western Conference in scoring by more than 3 points per game over Dallas. Out of nowhere, this Jalen Williams, second-year player from Santa Clara, he's getting 18 points a game, 52% from the field. Holmgren's been fantastic after his injury. And Alexander leads the NBA in steals, 2.6, and he's having a tremendous, like, MVP type of season.
Yeah, as Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 36 last night. And hats off to Simmons for giving me that MVP pick a few weeks ago. Another guy he gives me that he's not going to actually vote for, but he was 10-1 to win MVP a few weeks ago. Now down to 4-1, Bri, only behind Jokic at plus 270 and Embiid in front at plus 210. But what's interesting about this year, as we know, you got to play the 65 to be eligible for this.
Yep.
So anybody could go down, not even for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. And one of these guys can sneak up. If you like OKC to win it all, you still can get really long odds, 23-1. Still right there. And I guess I didn't look, but their conference must be, what is it? It's half that. Why didn't I not see this? For conference, OKC is plus 750 only. Okay. So the bigger obstacle would be winning in the finals than winning. Yeah. So then
nobody's talking about the Timberwolves though, who are actually ahead of OKC, either. Yeah,
I know. Yeah. So, and they're, if you want to do that, they're plus 195 to win the division, where the Timberwolves and Nuggets are ahead of them, T-Wolves plus 140, Nuggets plus 170. All right. I think that's enough basketball talk for now. I do want to look at this. I was very excited about this. Our friend Ben Folks put out on Twitter the most bet athletes in 2023 by sport. And here they go. NFL, Travis Kelce. NBA, Nikola Jokic. MLB, Shohei Ohtani. Makes sense. NHL, Connor McDavid. Soccer, Erling Haaland. Golf, Scottie Scheffler. Tennis, Alcaraz and Sabalenka for the men and women. NASCAR, Kyle Busch. F1, Max Verstappen. I mean, he's the only guy who wins, so it makes sense. UFC, Alex Pereira. I'm going to start off and say the surprise name to me was Travis Kelce. And it only surprises me because I feel like this Taylor Swift influence is greater than we think. Like, these bets, I think, take into account, if you bet them, not just week to week on player props, but MVP. You know, he wasn't up for MVP, Kelce, unlike some of these other players I just mentioned in other sports. He's not up for a comeback player of the year, nothing like that. So people are just betting Kelce, much like you did, Parlay Kid, because of Taylor Swift. Now, because of Taylor Swift and because, okay, he's got to rebound at some point. I think between those two narratives, that's where all the Travis Kelce money is coming in. And he's not even a top 40 player at this point, right? That was weird.
That's why I jumped on that last week thinking he was due.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if he's even due anymore. I'm just not sure what type of football player he is anymore. Just kind of watching him closely last game.
Mm-hmm.
Just doesn't look like part of it is because he doesn't have talent around him, other offensive talent. Mm-hmm. But other part of it is I think he's he's just gotten a little older and rapidly, I think, you know, so. But
yeah, a lot of money coming in. I wonder if that tells off.
But a lot of it's the Taylor Swift stuff. I mean, let's face it. That's what
most of it's from. But that's weird. Isn't that weird? Like, people are betting because of that? Like, yeah.
Maybe it's a lot of females. Maybe a lot of girls.
Really? All right.
Yeah, why not?
I'd like to know where he was before that, because I do feel like even in years past, right? Like Kelce to score a touchdown or six receptions, right? Like those, that was always one of the main props.
Oh yeah. Over 6.5 catches. Well,
Mahomes had to be, Mahomes.
Right. Mahomes though, MVP. And yeah, Mahomes over 1.5 or 2.5 touchdowns. Right. Yeah. I would have thought
Paul
Mahomes would have been
like $33 million on Mahomes over 2.5 touchdowns.
I stopped. Thank goodness. I got off that train this year. Thank goodness.
Yeah. Well, that train is in the junkyard now. It's not even running. All right, Bri, what surprised you? Anything?
Well, look, it's funny. I know some people thought maybe with golf, like Scheffler was a little interesting. Although I will say, like, Scheffler made sense because we talked about him all the time. I would just think like a guy like Rory would be a little bit more. Yeah. Like you said, Mahomes, I thought. And the other one, too, I was surprised for UFC, Pereira. I have to look at it because maybe he just had more fights.
Right.
Than not others I could think of. But I would have thought like even like an Adesanya, you know, as a heavy favorite in the UFC multiple times, I would think he would be the guy that would be bet the most or some other guys in the lightweight division.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. What were the fight? I think he would need three fights, right? Probably. So
yeah,
I don't know who would it be. Makachev. I'm looking at all these guys.
It's just interesting that Pereira was the guy. That's just weird. That was weird to me.
Adesanya is another one. All right, Harry, what jumps out at you?
I thought actually women's tennis, Sabalenka, a little bit still, because look, you know, she's not number one in the world. It's Swiatek from Poland, and still not. I don't think she's where she should be at this point in her career. Not as dominant as she is and should be in majors. So surprised that she's number one. But also, since I've retired from betting NASCAR and being Gas Gagnon, that nickname is taken off the board. Kyle Busch, very interesting, because 2 years ago three years ago he was just killing me. Always something going on in the race where his tire screwed up or he had a penalty for something. Always screwed up and always screwed me. But yet people are betting Kyle Busch. Interesting,
right? I mean, for the women's tennis, they should just ask Bri. I'm like, all right, who did you bet on the most? And then that's the answer, right? For who was bet on the most in women's tennis?
Sure.
So Sabalenka. That's my answer. Parlikid, did you give an answer? I'm sorry for this.
Not really. I agree with Brother Bri. I would have said Alex Pereira too. When you win at golf, like Harry and I, you know that Scheffler is no surprise there. That guy is always amongst the leaderboards. And so no surprise there that people are jumping on him all the time. Yeah, I think UFC, it might have just come down to he had maybe two big fights this year where other guys had one. That's my only thing I could think about with Pereira. Did he have two big fights this year? I think he did.
I'm looking at Adesanya. Did those both happen this year? Both those Adesanya fight? No. April was Adesanya, the second
then he
one.
Fought,
and then the last month, who was it? Who did he fight?
I can't
remember. I know. This is why. This is why. With Prochazka or something? That was in November? Yeah. So that was it. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird because I look at these like Poirier and Gaethje. That was a big one in July, but I think that was just it for those two, right? So I'm looking at the top fight, Makhachev, Volkanovski, Marino, Pantoja. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if these were... Gaethje had a couple of fights, so you might think he was there too. But anyway, yeah, I mean, the sad thing is they didn't include boxing, but it was definitely Jake Paul, right? No matter what. So sad.
Oh, yeah.
What's happened?
For sure.
Really crazy. All right. So that's it. Thank you, Ben, folks, for that. Brother Bri, you'll be spending your birthday this weekend with the daughter in the gym at 6 a.m. shooting free throws till about noon.
Well, yeah, we might go shoot. One of my daughters has a volleyball tournament that I will not be attending because I'll be watching football this weekend.
Okay. So, all right. Yeah. Getting that Father of the Year credential.
Father of the Year.
Yeah, yes, for sure.
Harry, how are you spending Bri's birthday?
I am, last I checked, I'm going to be here in Scottsdale just watching football as well.
Unless so you're checked. Unless you're moving. Thank you, okay. All right. Parlay Kid, what do we have wrestling for you now? Where are we
no,
on the calendar?
No, we're not there yet. For me, yeah. Big winter track meet this all weekend. Right. A lot of excitement with that. That will prevent me from watching some of the football on Sunday. Which is hard for me to swallow, but it's okay. As long as it doesn't affect me during the playoff season.
Right. You get the red zone on the phone. Okay. You'll have to cheat.
I'll be sneaking. I'll be watching all right. a lot. By the way, Pereira had three fights in this calendar. Yeah, three. Year, so that's why he's there. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. By the way, also Sal, can I reach out and give a shout out to, ex-Olympian Dan O'Brien. He hit me up again the other day. He wants to hang out and watch football. So Dan, if you're listening to the podcast, you catch it this week, hit me up. I'm available on Sunday. I'll meet you up at the sports book and we can watch football together, buddy.
Now, I think you owe it to him to tell him your track record with meeting up with former athletes and what it does to their careers afterwards and whatever. current, former, all the
He's place. Retired, so it's okay.
That's true. All right, Dan, don't think about making a comeback because it's all for naught once you meet up with Harry. So there you go. Shout out to Dan O'Brien. Shout out to Brother Bri. Happy birthday. And that's going to do it for another episode of Against All Odds. From Mikey Meatballs and the D3, I'm Sal saying so long and happy handicapping. You must be 21 or older and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. You have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPENY.
This episode is brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. As a ruthless king builds his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
In New York,